What is love through your eyes? How do you see love? How do you feel love? What do you think love is? Well, I'm sure if we talk to different people, everyone has a different view of what love is. Some people look at love as finding someone, that person being there for them all the time, catering to their every need, just whatever they need, they're there. Whatever they're going through, they're there. They can count on them at all times. They will never disappoint them, never deceive them, never lie to them. You know, they look at love as that it's to make me happy. And so that's one form of love. Then there's another form of love where you are patient. You are kind. You see the best in others. You understand that life happens. You understand that people are human and that they have flaws. You understand those things, so you are willing to work with them, be patient with them, help them, give your all to them. And even though you don't get anything in return, you feel like your obligation is to just make sure they're where they need to be and be there for them. And even when you're tired and you're weary and you really, really don't feel like doing anything at the time, you make yourself available regardless. That's another form of, you know, how people look at love. But the only way that we as humans can really fully understand what true love is, you first have to have the spirit of your Heavenly Father God, who is love, inside of you. You need to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. You need to have a life of surrender to His will and His way. Because we as human beings, we are born into sin. And so we view life through the world's eyes. We view life as how we were raised, our environment, our views, our personal views on life. And so we have many different views on love. And I believe the reason why, you know, some relationships don't last, there's many reasons. But for one, a killer, true killer of relationships, for one, is selfishness. Selfishness is actually the first form of love that I share. Selfishness is when you get in the relationship. And of course, in the beginning, you know, it's something new. You both are excited and, you know, we all know how it goes. But then, as time goes on, both parties become comfortable with one another. And both are lacking. Neither parties are giving. But they are waiting for the other to make the first move. And so, first of all, that's a red flag. And that's often how it is with relationships. Somebody is waiting on somebody to make the first move. And so, with that being said, somebody gotta be the bigger person. And it's actually gonna start with one person talking to the other person and both parties coming together and talking about their relationship. Not talking to end it, but talking to build it. Because relationships have different stages. There's different stages in relationships. So we all know how it is in the beginning. It kind of reminds me of a haircut. You know how you, at first you have your hair a certain way and then you're happy with it. And then you cut it. You end up cutting it shorter or whatever. And then eventually, you're happy with the shortcut, but then you want to grow it back out. So now as it's growing out, you have that in-between stage where you are like, oh my God, why did I ever cut it? Well, in relationships, you have those in-between stages. And the thing is, if you have built your relationship on all the fluff and the puff, and that's all, you know, it's been, that's all you've expected. Well, when you get in the middle stages of that relationship, when things have kind of settled, you're still going to be looking for the fluff and the puff. But really, a relationship needs to be founded on a firm foundation. Because fluff and puff versus a firm foundation, if you stand on something fluffy and puffy, it's going to sink in, right? But if you stand on something firm, it is unmovable. And so the thing is, in most relationships, people don't think about the firm foundation. They think about the fluffiness, the puffiness, you know, the gushy, the ushy. They think about those things and they don't take time to think about the foundation. And nothing's wrong with the fluffy and the puffy, but why not do the fluffy and the puffy with the foundation, with the firm foundation? So people come into relationships with expectations. Usually they're selfish expectations, because most people are looking for her. You know, they're looking for their needs to be met. They're looking for somebody to satisfy them. Somebody that's going to make them feel good. And that's another thing. If we would really take time on ourselves, if we would take the time to build ourselves, evaluate our lives, and to work on self-love. By the time you've done that and you get in a relationship, you will be content anyway. You won't have a void looking for someone to fill. But that's easier said than done. I mean, because life just happens and nobody really looks at life like that. You know, we look at relationships, we got a void and we need it to be filled. But really, if that void was already filled before you got in that relationship, the majority of the things that you go through in your relationship, looking at the other person and pointing a finger, you won't even feel. Unless someone is being unfaithful, of course, or something like that. But So I want to really challenge you today to really look at your relationships. And this goes beyond courtship. This can even be in your immediate family. You know, again, we all, as humans, you know, we desire to be affirmed. We desire to be loved, appreciated. We want our ego stroked every now and again. We want to feel loved. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you are a self-centered person, it's not going to just be in a courtship or a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship. That thing is going to trickle in every area of your life. And so I will say this, and this is what I used to say to my children, and this just, I mean, even for myself, we just have to be real. So you take you everywhere you go. And if everybody is saying the same thing everywhere you go in your relationships, then you need to take a look in the mirror and ask yourself a question. Why are people saying the same thing about me? Sometimes, you know, we try to brush those things off and get mad, and I've been there. I mean, I've had situations where I really had to be honest with myself and look at myself on many occasions. And this thing is never ending. I mean, it you could be young, you could be middle-aged, you can be old and older. But those things will come back around, and they come back around so we can work on those things, not overlook those things. I'll give you an example. So, you know, me as a mother with my children, I have noticed, and didn't notice at first, that, you know, sometimes I can, kind of try to control the situation, try to control things, and a lot with my youngest child, and I find myself just, you know, trying to dictate, trying to explain to her how she should do things and this, that, and the other. And she actually is old enough to make her own decisions. But still, as a mother, that doesn't mean we have to back up. But I happened to be watching Bernie Mac's show one day, and he just had so much control over his, they're like his nieces and nephews he's raising in this show. And the niece, she was trying to figure out what she wanted to do with her life. You know, she was older and just trying to make decisions. And all through the show, he kept telling her, I want you to do this. You need to do this. This is what you should do. This will be best. And she ended up doing it. And then, next thing you know, it ended up being something totally different than what he thought it was going to be. So then he wanted her to stop doing it. Then he wanted her to do something else. And he was just on her about why you need the next thing you know. She did that. He didn't like that. And as I watched that, I saw myself. And honestly, it really did, because a lot of times when we are certain ways and we don't recognize it, we really don't want to be like that, but we don't even see it. It's like we have blinders on and we're not aware of it. And so it can be the same way in relationships. You know, I don't know, maybe you were spoiled as a child, or maybe you didn't get your way. So, you know, as you got older, you just started taking a mat, you know, that mindset that I'm going to take what I want. And if they don't give it to me, then I'm going to cut them off. You know, there's different reasons why we look at life the way we do. But if you are in a relationship and you are not satisfied because the person is not meeting your expectations, you know, then you might want to look at yourself. Could it be that you're being selfish? Could it be that it's all about you? Could it be? Now, one thing about relationships, as I see it, there are different stages in relationships. And of course, at the beginning, you know, that's fun and exciting. You're getting to know one another and, oh my God, oh, it's something new. But then again, as you get in that middle stage, things begin to settle. And a lot of times, that's when people want to back out. They want to back out because, again, they feel like this relationship is not catering to their need. And again, sometimes in relationships, they are one-sided. And if you are the type of person that see through a one-sided lens, you are being selfish. You are being selfish. But on the flip side of that, if you are giving your all, doing everything, being mistreated, being neglected, you know, this person literally lets you know in your face that they really don't care about you and you're just a convenience, then that shows that you have problems with self-love. You don't love yourself. And so your way of looking at love is to give. Your love is from you. What you call love is seeing somebody else happy. So if you make somebody happy, then that makes you feel like you are loved. And I've been there. You know, I used to look at my love and the things I did for my immediate family. I used to look at it like, you know, as long as I'm pleasing them, I'm pleasing God. But little did I know, I was so wrong, because God loves me regardless. God loves us regardless, in spite of what we've done, in spite of what we do. He hates sin, but he still loves us in spite of. So some of us had that type, what we think love is well, I did this, and I, you know, I'm always there when they need me, or, you know, I can be tired and he wants me to cook, or she wants me to run to the store, or you know, I bought her flowers, whatever it is. And long as you see that person happy, that makes you feel good, and that makes you feel like you're loved. But that is not love. That is from insecurities. That is from lack of self-love. So there's many different areas where really we just have to look at our lives and be real with ourselves, because until we are real with ourselves and we look at this thing through a clear lens, we're going to keep repeating the same old cycle. So could it be what you call love is selfishness? Could it be what you call love is your insecurities, your lack of self-love for yourself? Could it be? Could it be that we have the wrong idea of what love really is? Excuse me. Could it be we have the wrong idea of what love is? What we viewed as love was not really love. Is that possible? And then you have those that have been hurt so in relationships that now they have walls up. They have walls up. And so now there's no commitment. No commitment. Because they're afraid to love again. And we'll talk about those things. But I want to stay in this vein right here. Because if we don't be real with ourselves, we will continue these same cycles. Continue being abused. Continue being in multiple relationships. Continuing to have walls up. With no commitment. No lack of, and lack of trust. And so we really got to be real with ourselves. And so I want to share a brief story about my life with my last husband, which is now deceased. And what I'm sharing, I'm not sharing this to boast on myself, but I'm sharing to give you a glimpse, I would say, of what love is. And when it all boiled down to the end, it was God's love in me that was the key. So I had been in marriage. Well, I had been married to my husband for, I guess, 21 or so years. And, you know, we had our ups and downs. I had left him many times, and he never was abusive. It was just the other things. And, you know, I left him many times, you know, and went back with him. And, you know, every time I would go back, I would, you know, give my all. I would give my all. And after the time before the last time that I left him, I had left him for a year. And being separated for that year, I was able to evaluate, do some self-evaluation, to look at the marriage and really look at myself. One of the things I realized that I didn't know my worth. I really didn't love myself, because if I did, I wouldn't have allowed the things that I allowed. And also, I realized that I never communicated with him the things that I felt. Never communicated. Now, I'm going to say this in a relationship. Another one of the biggest problems in a relationship, people don't communicate. People get mad at your partner, I would say. You get upset with your partner, but you never even discuss why you're mad. And there's different things that go on, you know, through the week, through the days, through the months that you don't even share, but you're mad. And so how is it that a person is supposed to know what's wrong with you if you don't communicate? We gotta stop assuming that people know what's wrong with us. So finally, after a year, as I said, we got back together. And I never really expressed myself in the marriage. So this time I was expressing myself, expressing how I felt. And I, you know, freely opened it up for him to express himself as well so we could have that communication. Well, as time went on, those things started popping up that I never talked to him about. That I would feel a certain way on the inside, but I would never share how I felt. So finally, I just started sharing those things. And what this is what he said to me. Well, why didn't you ever say anything? I never knew that. That's a big problem in a relationship. There needs to be communication. There needs to be communication. Nobody can read your mind. There needs to be communication. And then it's a way you communicate. When you communicate, you don't just go in and you're pointing your finger at the person. It's best to affirm them for the things that you appreciate. And then when you go in and explain what's going on, why you know, what you're feeling, it's best to approach it in a way, well, I don't know, I was kind of feeling like, you know, the other day or whenever I was talking to you, I kind of felt like you kind of brushed it off and you didn't, I don't know, I mean, that's how I felt. So that way, you're not, the person is not feeling attacked. You know what I'm saying? And now they don't, they feel comfortable talking about the situation because of the way you presented it versus the other day. I noticed I was talking to you and you just brushed me off. Well, when you approach someone like that, you're getting ready to get a whole different type of conversation. And usually it turns into an argument, you know, it's a heated discussion, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, we were together for 4 years after that, and some old habits and things started arising again, which they probably never left. I just didn't notice. And so I decided to look at my life, and I said to myself, life is so short, and if you continue to stay in this, doing all that you are doing, you really don't love yourself. You really don't love yourself. So I had to make a decision, and I finally ended up moving and getting my own place. But in the midst of that, I was still there for him. You know, he had some health issues. Well, he could get around and do things for himself, but I would take him to the grocery store. You know, I was his aide at one point. You know, we would talk just about every day. And I eventually moved to another state. And again, you know, I won't go into what he had done, but again, Before I moved, I made sure that everything in his place was organized and that it would be easy for him to get to those things. Even when I moved, I, you know, He got sick and was in the hospital. I went over to his apartment. I pulled out his bills. I paid his bills for him. I made sure his things was in order. I communicated with his family. And I know there was some people that was thinking, why are you doing this? The stuff that this man has done, why are you doing this? And so then, you know, I had a situation, and this was a doozy. And I won't go into it, but it was a good reason for me not even to deal with him again. But, you know, through that situation, I still continued to love and took him to the grocery store, came back to his apartment and seen where he had bags and bags and bags of food where he had ordered, like DoorDash and all that, and bags was just everywhere. So, and mind you, I had just found out something that day. And I took him to the store, came back, saw all the stuff, bags and stuff laid out in his bedroom. I got a garbage bag, picked up all the bags, cleaned his room. Yes. So, as I said, I did that, cleaned his room up, and then I left. Well, the very next day, our daughter goes to visit him. He's literally in a diabetic coma. So after that, he's in the hospital. My lease was just about up, and I already had plans to move, so I moved to another state. But in the midst of it, I continued to communicate, visit, talk to the doctors, talk to the nurses, handle his affairs, even in the midst of all of that. And then eventually, he died. And I was the one that planned his funeral. Something I had never done before. And in the midst of everything that had happened in my life, in the midst of everything, it was like those things didn't even cross my mind. Even during the process, you know, in the midst of everything that I was doing, it never crossed my mind. Why am I doing this? You know, he did this, he did. It never crossed my mind. And so now here I am. He's gone. I am planning his homegoing. And I remember, you know, his favorite football team. So I wanted him to be buried with those colors. So that was planned. And I decided to wear matching colors to match him. And it hit me so hard at his funeral. There was a cry that came out of me that I've never cried like that in my life. And it's because, you know, in the midst of all that had happened in my life with this man, he was a great man. I still today look at him as a great man, a great personality, made people laugh and smile everywhere he went, really cared about people. And as everything was wrapping up, you know, people, my friends, my family, everybody just kept commending me on how I treated him. I've had several of my children still today, they still talk about it, that they've never seen anything like that. And what God put on my heart was He used me to display His love to my husband and others. That it was a love story showing how much He loves His children. And honestly, y'all, when I think about that, for one, I am so humble. I'm so humble that God can even trust me, that He would even want to use my life to display His love. It was just so mind-blowing to me. And again, people are still talking about it. And I tell them, honestly, it was God's love to have been treated the way I was treated, to have gone through the things that I've gone through, and still be there helping and doing to the very end, not even thinking about what this person has done. And even in the midst of him being gone, I miss him. And I think about the good times. I think about the joy that he brought and the laughter that he brought. And again, I wish he was still here. Not saying that I would be with him, but I wish he was here. And so that is love. That is God's love. And so when we leave a relationship, when we end it, when you end it, let it be in love. When you have your differences and you want to share your heart and your views, your opinion or whatever, let it be done in love. When you do something for others, let it be out of love. Because isn't that what you want in return? Is love? So I really hope that you have gained something from this podcast today. That you will really take the time, really, honestly, look at your life. Is your conversation in relationships always about you and what you want? Is it always about you and what you're not getting? Because if it is, that's called selfishness. Is your conversation is all I do is give, give, give. I'm always there for them. I'm never getting back. They never are there for me. I done gave and gave and gave, and now I'm tired. I've been there and done that. That's not love. That's just self-service. It's self-service. It really is. And it could stem from a person wanting to be affirmed. They do it because they want to be affirmed. Or it could be because of the lack of self-love and insecurities in your life. But whatever it is, take time to do some self-evaluation. And if you got to go back and apologize to some people, apologize. I actually went to my daughter and I told her that I was sorry. Matter of fact, before then, I noticed different things and I apologized. But that Bernie Mac show really hit me hard. It was literally like I was seeing myself. And I'm really trying to work on that. I'm really, really, really trying to work on that. So, I just want to say thank you for taking time out and listening to this podcast today. And honestly, if you want to have healthy and whole relationships in your life, it begins with you looking at yourself. So, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for every listener. And God, you see all, you know all, and you love us in spite of. Father, I pray that you would shine the light on those areas, because sometimes we don't even see those things in us, but that you would shine the light. And when you shine it, you do it in love, that they will be able to really see what category they fit in. And then, God, that they will be real with themselves, that they will forgive themselves, that they will ask the other people that they have hurt to forgive them. And God, that they will accept your love for them, because you love us regardless. And that they will ask you for your help as they go through this process of a new beginning of this walk of love in their lives. And so I thank you, Father, and I give you praise, glory, and honor. And it's in your Son Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Blessings.